stand up for a second. Everybody just stand up and stretch. Because we're sleepwalking.
Oh, yes.
I'm
leaving. There we go. We need to stretch it out. Get all everything out. Because it's building up.
She's asking. John, put me on the stream. Folks, we're going to reconvene.
But there's still this paradox, you know, about the election and the fundraising.
Folks, please come back. Please come back. Please come back.
Sure. Exactly. Right. No, it wasn't. And it wasn't because I don't have that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Folks, we'd like to reconvene. We have lots more business on our agenda, and that's what we're here to do.
That had a lot of effect.
I think it's good to say things.
I'm sorry, I got lost in the full of all of that.
Oh, no, it's fine. I think the conversation itself was enough of a sort of a mess, you know, a signal, which she'll hear us and do what she's going to do.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to. Thank you.
Did you get here?
I didn't hear it.
I did.
I missed out. I'll make a note of it.
Sean is really pissed. He's walking.
Wait, pissed at what?
Pissed that we didn't have any marching around. He's pissed at me for not wanting to extend the eligibility date. It's too confusing.
It's bullshit that you don't have any new listeners who are going to sign up for this. Yeah. You've got, as they said, you've got 20,000 people at KPFA who are on the rolls, you know, 11 of which who are candidates. And you mean you don't have a pool of new people? Bullshit. You know, instead of that, you're going to do all this manipulation of the whole process in order to get three or four more people, perhaps. Two or three, more likely, who might actually sign up in that period who weren't members before and suddenly decide that even I've never been a member of this radio station, I'd like to not only become a member, I'd like to run for the board. They're what?
All right, they're recruited. Yeah.
I understand that. I hear that.
That's really what it is.
That's really what
the
issue is.
I'm spending a lot of time this weekend recruiting people in the middle of this meeting. And, yeah.
But that's an argument for extending the time for the deadline. Hey, let's get started. Who do we hit? We have the Finance Committee. Folks, we're going to get started. The next committee report is the Finance Committee, which is actually Summer, and she's not here. Does anyone have her designation to give a report? Okay, well, hearing none. It's in the book. I suppose I could read it into the record. You know, one of the things we could do with this, it's very boring to read something into the record. It's very boring to listen to.
Can I please finish?
Thank you.
My mother was fantastic.
I'll do my best. I'll make it a dramatic presentation. Or better yet, I'll give it to you. But the thing that Bill did, it seems to me, makes perfect sense. These reports should all be up on the web and accessible before the meeting so that we don't actually have to read them and people can still access them. And we'll try to do that for the next meeting. Is it in the book?
I don't think so. Which one?
The Finance Committee report. Well, you know what? It isn't in the book. There is no report. We did not get a report. Okay. Moving on.
George?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I can just briefly, within 2 minutes, say some of the things that the Finance Committee have been doing and how we've been working together, if you don't mind.
No, that'd be fine.
Okay. This is LaVarne Williams. I'm the CFO of the Foundation, MBA from Washington University, economics and from University of Pennsylvania. Just kidding. Not kidding, but that's a fact, but the use. So we've met the Finance Committee. We have met usually like twice a month. And Summer Reese and Alberto Luera, who's also not here today, both PNB members, they have like shared sometime the chairing of the committee. So where we have really moved ahead on the budgets, I think I spoke about that earlier, and we have reviewed the KPFT budget for 2011. We've reviewed the Archives Committee with Brian DeShazers. We reviewed the KPFT budget with Markeisha Vincent Sampson, who's the business manager. And we have the KPFK budget. It was actually, we received that first. So we are setting up for our next committee meeting to have a discussion and review on the development of that budget with the business manager and perhaps Jennifer Kaiser. And as far as the other budgets, general manager, Ahmad Anderson, and the business managers and his assistant, they're working on that. We're also working on helped a lot in the national office, particularly on the payroll part of it. And so WPFW They are also, they have a new finance committee, the treasurer there. So he's really worked really hard with the staff, with Robert West, the business manager. So they've done a lot of work on that, and they should have something to produce shortly. And so we're really extremely happy about that, because that didn't happen last year. And we have, for BAI, Bertil Reimers, who has helped with the budgets, actually produced budgets last year. So he's there as the interim general manager. So we expect a budget within the next two weeks or so. And I know he has to get with his senior staff to confirm the planning factors. So we're moving ahead. We're working really well together. And I'm still trying to address the, actuals and year-to-date results. And the other, we have, there is a motion that we'll consider. We'll have Summer, when she can be on the call, propose a motion from the Finance Committee on scheduling the PNB meetings for the fiscal 2011, because we have the meeting that's scheduled for October. So that's a meeting that's in fiscal 2011. So we only want to schedule three additional meetings in 2011 after the one in October. So we need the PNB. I've kind of like thrown this out as an idea to get feedback on it. So she would like to submit that motion at the next PNB conference call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Next is the Governance Committee. Joe Gonzalez, Chair of the Governance Committee.
Yeah, I don't have anything to report from governance right now. We have some bylaws amendments we are considering. And the main other item we've looked at this year is the motion regarding so-called recalcitrant LSBs that is before us this weekend. So that's it.
Okay. Personnel Committee, who's going to give that report? This is Bill Crozier, co-chair of the Personnel Committee, with Fia Wangaza as the other co-chair.
Right. Well, as you know, we finished the ED evaluation survey and report and completed all that by the end of May. And currently going on is the survey for reviewing the performance of our CFO. And all of you should have received a invitation to fill out the survey, online survey, Monday night, and we've also had it sent to all the business managers, list managers, GMs and IGMs, national office staff, and other LSB members who are on the finance or audit committees. So please remind any of those people that you see or email that the deadline we have is for Monday, 2 days from now, midnight Pacific time, to complete that. I had Zoomerang, which is our online tool, send out a reminder this morning to everybody who's not already filled one out, so look for that. It would appear to come from Pacifica Foundation, so just look for Pacifica Foundation in the from, but it's got my email address. So if you reply to it or something, I'll get it, and then we'll forward it to the rest of the Personnel Committee. We plan to review the results, compile them, produce a report, a draft report next week. We hope to meet with Arlene on Sunday. We haven't need to confirm that on a conference call and complete that report. Oh, okay. She said okay. And then we'll send that out to all of you, hard copies, if you're not already on the Personnel Committee, next the week after. And then at the end of that week, I believe we scheduled a meeting, executive committee meeting with the PNB. Is that right, George? That'd be in 2 weeks, the last Friday of this month.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, we have to go over the CFO evaluation. We asked for an executive session with the PNB before the end of the month.
My understanding was that on the 23rd, you're having this personnel committee meeting. Is that right?
Well, we won't have everything ready by then for the PNB.
It hasn't been scheduled yet. We'll have to reschedule it. The only thing I scheduled was the meeting for next Friday.
Right.
Well, you won't be ready by that time.
Right. We would like to have it before the end of the month, because the end of the month is the CFO's end of the probationary period.
Okay.
And if you have questions, let me know, or Afia or any of the other people on the personnel committee. We also had put in the original invitation if there were any of the people who wanted who did not want to fill out the online survey, they could request a hard copy. Nobody has done that, and it's too late for them to request it and us to mail it to them now. But if you know of somebody, or if one of you wants a hard copy instead, I've got a couple of copies, and I can print out more, and I can give them to you today, but they still need to be back to us by Monday. So if you can get that done right away so that we can get it entered so the data can be compiled, we'd appreciate it.
Richard, you had a question?
Bill, this isn't a question. This is a comment that that was Richard Uzel, Houston. When y'all put that together, you know it's somebody from Houston. He throws a y'all in there or something. When y'all put that together and you have those wonderful comments, I say that sarcastically, put those in the package all of their own and don't let happen to our CFO what happened to our ED. That trash on top, so it looks like that means something.
Right. We plan to mail our CFO a hard copy, so
put those things in something and put red letters on them. You know, don't. This is a public opinion.
Right. We plan to mail the CFO a hard copy, so that she will get the same thing that the rest of you get in the right order, rather than with the last question first. With the last question being, basically, what are you doing wrong, or what can you improve on?
Okay. Do we have any more time for this? It's okay. I don't see any more questions anyway. The next is the program committee. The chair of that is actually not here because he's not on the PNB. It's Jamie Ross. However, he's delegated Jennifer Jaeger as a member of the committee to bring forth two motions from the committee.
Okay. The programming.
I've scheduled 10 minutes for this first one and 15 minutes for the second one.
Okay. The programming committee voted 8-1 to recommend the following motion to the PNB. And let me just add, both these motions were presented to the main body of the PNB, and they were thrown back into the programming committee for reconsideration. The first motion actually was George's motion, and maybe he wants to read it?
No, you can read it.
Well, thanks. Got to do your work for you, George. The PNB supports the ED putting into place the means of moving quickly to broadcast simultaneously on all five stations and as many affiliates as are willing to carry them, events of national interest consistent with our mission. Additional resources as needed should be put into the stations that require them to make this possible. If an important event falls outside of the signal area of the five Pacifica stations, whenever possible, Pacifica will ask of its affiliates for assistance. The programming committee had some concerns about this motion.
Let me just wait a moment. Okay. That's the motion which is in front of you, okay?
Right.
So that's the only thing we're voting on. Now, there were questions about implementation, and ultimately this is a recommendation to Arlene to support our implementation of it. There were some concerns about that, and that's what's being read now, but you're not voting on that. This is basically for information for Arlene and for you all.
Yeah, the programming committee pass this out of committee, but with these concerns. Who would choose the programming? Who makes these decisions? B, must carry problem, autonomy of stations. C, funding issue. Where will these funds come from and where will they go and who decides? D, this does not appear to be a good way to develop a national news department. And E, the broadcast team, does it vary broadcast to broadcast? Who decides who does the broadcast? I don't know, that's a little redundant. But I think the programming committee had concerns that the motion was a little vague, and these are some of the points that we thought might be clarified by the main body.
So you're throwing it back, in other words.
Well, that's well, up to you guys.
The motion in front of you is, as I said, the first part. It's open. It's on the floor. It's amendable. It doesn't require a second. It's coming back out of committee. Arlene, did you want to comment about it?
Yeah, I answer a couple of the questions. Number one, I'm looking to this body for guidance on anything that would say everybody must carry. Otherwise, I'm dealing with the autonomy of state, from my perspective, with the autonomy of stations, and they would need to want to carry it. Number two, in terms of a decision-making at the request, I believe, of this body.
Something just happened with just the audio. George. Arlene, just a second.
Arlene, your mic.
I think you just went off the stream. Well, I guess you're going to have to keep talking. We can't find out.
I'm right on top of it.
2-2-1
Hello, hello. Hello, hello.
That's it, Otis.
usually it works.
I could do a dance.
No, it was one of the guys that was going to the bathroom.
They're all going to the bathroom.
Could you talk, George?
Hello, hello. That sounds fine.
There we go.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear myself, too. Okay. In terms of mandatory carrying, unless directed by this body, I feel that's a station-by-station issue. Hoping to build some network, I'll use the word teamwork, that's not quite what I want to say, but some network identification and some desire for really good programming that meets our mission. But I'm, at this point, certainly not in the position of dictating to stations what they have to carry. Secondly, in terms of who would make decisions, I believe it was at your request, or at least we did discuss it as part of one meeting, that I put together a committee, and I have begun to do that, and it includes at least one representative from each station, plus I've got two or three other national people identified as part of that, that would discuss would discuss the recommendations that would come into us from all kinds of sources. I would hope that they would come from all of our stations, from some of the affiliates, and perhaps from other organizations out there, and that this committee would meet and decide what made sense. And then the other, of course, abiding factor in determining that is the aspect of funding. I would hope that in many cases we would also be partnering with Free Speech Radio News on some of these events. And I would also want to involve various hosts and commentators from various stations so that it would not be one person over and over and over.
Okay. I think the sense of the committee, the biggest concern was the must-carry provision, and that the motion should be amended to state that stations would be permitted to choose whether they would carry this programming or not.
Are you introducing that as an amendment?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment passes.
Okay.
Anything else about this? Anything else?
Do you have a...
You want to take a stack?
Kathy, you wanted to be on the stack, yes.
Motion. Yes, I just wanted to comment in terms of national programming that we've also been talking about this on technology committee, which, you know, if we get to that report, I'll just talk that a little bit more, that there needs to be some instruction and standardization on how anybody might be able to rise to that level. But I also think that some of the difficulties, I know in the last hearings that we broadcast, we ended up sharing the cost from station to station, and that helped to cover the cost, but it was also a surprise because nobody knew that was going to happen. beforehand. And I think that in creating national programming, the way it's been occurring for the last number of years, it's been dominated by one station and one... Yes, are you speaking to me? Dominated by one station and one set of producers. And I think that there has been very, very serious concern across the network that producers and programmers and program directors, that it hasn't been equitable. And I think that anything that occurs, any policy, there has to be some assurance that there's going to be equitable opportunity across the network and that it not be dominated by a particular station because, for whatever reason.
Arlene?
I agree with you on that, but I would also like to say that while we had scheduled, or thought we had scheduled, someone from another station on that last broadcast, it still would have involved Mitch, but there would have been a co-host. The person decided they weren't available at the last minute, and that's one of the problems that's happened, as I understand it, a couple of times. But I'm really committed to the idea that we need people from various voices from various stations, depending on what the issue of the topic and the location
right.
is.
May I please? But I just wanted to really point out that the particular station you're referring to has really dominated national broadcast, and I think to the detriment of the many talented people we have across the network. And it's not always been about person dropping out. It's been about...
No. And part of it's been technology, too, because they have the technology to distribute it. But that doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to continue. I'm really committed to the idea that we need to involve many voices.
We're almost out of time. Afia, you had a comment?
I want to express my concern and about that same issue and in support of the point that Kathy makes. Consistently, there is a lack of transparency and a lack of openness and availability of opportunity across this network, and the same problem exists in the affiliates program and was glaringly evident. Has been glaringly evident with regard to AudioPort. So I think it's something that needs to be addressed affirmatively.
Okay, we are out of time on this. The motion before us, Richard, would you read it again? Read it.
Station, this is the amendment, right? Stations would be able to choose.
No, I'm sorry. That amendment was accepted. It's the whole motion.
What am I reading? Okay, the whole motion is, and I don't know where this goes in there, but
just put it at the end. It'll be fine.
The PNB supports the ED putting into place the means of moving quickly to broadcast simultaneously on all five stations and as many affiliates as are willing to carry them. Events of national interest consistent with our mission. Additional resources as needed should be put into the stations that require them to make this possible. If an important event falls with outside the signal area of the five Pacifica stations, whenever possible, Pacifica will ask of its affiliates for assistance.
And then the amendment was?
Stations would be able to choose whether or not to carry these programs.
Okay. Is there any opposition to the motion as amended? Hearing none, the motion is approved unanimously. Would you introduce the next one, Jennifer? And we have 15 minutes for this.
Good luck. This is quite a controversial motion, and it's very long. If you see it in your book,
it's at the end.
It's on page 8 also. It's in two places, actually, in the book. It's at the end of one section, and it's on page 8 in the beginning in section 1. Right. Basically, this motion is a compromise between basically, this motion is a compromise between our ED's on-air policy and having no policy at all as far as criticizing the foundation on air. It's a middle ground that, to me, I don't know if I should motivate it. Maybe I should just read it.
No, I don't think so. It's so long that it's going to take 10 minutes to read it.
Okay, so then I'll just explain it. Well, that's why if you skim through it, and most of you have read Arlene Engelhardt's policy, this was also put into the Programming Committee for reconsideration. The wording in capital letters are the changes to her policy. And basically the change is to make this her 24-hour notice of any criticism on air of the foundation, make it voluntary. The motion also includes basically the premise for this motion was to protect the foundation, to have some policy in writing that would protect the foundation from lawsuits. All of the language, there are four provisions in the body of the motion that are language that cannot be used on air because we could be sued or the FCC could revoke our license. In the motion, it says that that would be grounds for immediate discipline. So that does protect us legally to some extent in the event that somebody violates violates one of those four premises, one of those four eventualities. But it also frees producers and... It frees, you know, we're a free speech radio. And as painful as it is, we should be able to sustain some criticism on air. It's not particularly good radio. And if a producer, and this is my opinion, if a producer does it continuously, that should be between him and the PD at the station to evaluate his program. But I don't feel that we should be stifling criticism as long as it's truthful and it doesn't violate any personnel or contractual or legal boundaries. So, you know, this is about as far as we can go towards providing our staff and our radio open speech. I mean, at WBAI, all of our staff was against Arlene Engelhardt's, RED's, 24-hour notice. They felt it really was stifling to their spontaneity, to their creativity, and all factions were against it, at least at WBAI. But obviously, we have to protect the foundation. There's nothing we can do about it. So I think this is a good compromise, that if a producer wants to review it through national, they can, to make sure they're not, you know, violating any of the things they shouldn't be doing on air, so they don't subject themselves to disciplinary action. But things that are justified criticism, however painful, boring, and whatever, really need to be allowed.
Okay, so I'll take a stack for comments. Kathy, there was a request from Richard. Do you want to comment on it, Arlene, before we take comments from the board? No. Okay, so Kathy, let's see. I saw Kathy, Leslie, Rico, and Andrea. Anybody else? And Tracy? Okay, and Jim. Okay, how much time have we got, Campbell?
This would be 15 minutes. We started at 38 and
That's been 15 minutes? Is there a motion to extend
motion
time for 10 minutes?
Motion to extend for 10 minutes.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. Please, we have six people on the stack. We have extended for 10 minutes.
Okay, so my comment is that I'm basically not in support of this motion. I think that we, as a radio station, we have to have standards with regard to libel. No one should be able to get on the air and slander or libel another person. And that's, I mean, I think that has to be.
It's in the motion.
I understand that, but I'm speaking to that this is true and this should be upheld on our air. But to extend that to say that a producer has to submit their critical comments to the national office.
That's not part of the motion anymore.
It's been made voluntary. If you want to do it to protect yourself,
okay. My position is that we don't need such a motion. My position is that lying on the air, libeling someone on the air, slandering someone on the air are in themselves already sufficient reason to be either pulled off or disciplined. We're already not allowed to do those things. So from my perspective, this is a way of sort of dimming down the controversies, the comment, the back and forth. And I just think it's inappropriate for Pacifica to be censoring its producers in their comments, in their analysis, in whatever they want to do on the air. If they're not committing a crime, then we have a right to do that as producers. So I'm against this motion. I think it's sort of protectionist, and it's a way of saying, you know, don't talk about my regime, but there's always going to be an opposition, whatever that is.
Leslie.
Yes. Am I on? There I go. Okay. I'd like to amend this motion to strike a few things here. In paragraph 4, I would like to strike, however, as a practical matter, such criticism, if delivered publicly on our own airwaves by a member of Pacifica's own staff, can only serve to damage Pacifica's public image and the reputation of its staff. Therefore, it is the express position of management that criticism of the foundation and or its personnel should not be broadcast over our airwaves as a first step, but only as a last resort. I would like to strike that because it puts anybody who does this in the position of having to establish that it is a last resort. And I don't think that's fair. On the next page, in the first complete paragraph that begins, however, I would like to strike the words in the first line, the privilege of, and it would remain, however, we believe that whistleblowing carries with it the responsibility of fairness. Whistleblowing is not a privilege. It is a right, and it is a responsibility. And finally, I would like to strike the last paragraph on the last page that was added by the committee.
We can move to divide it after she makes the amendment.
Move that we strike the final paragraph, which reads, that being said, the majority of our listeners have no knowledge and less interest in the internal affairs, etc. That is editorializing from the PNB, and I don't think we want to be in the business of determining what is or isn't good radio from here on this kind of arbitrary basis. I agree it may usually not be good radio, but it could potentially be very compelling radio, and I don't think that's a judgment we need to be making.
Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay. So what's on the floor is the three amendments. Is there a motion to divide them, which makes some sense? Is there any opposition to dividing the amendments? Okay. So we'll take them up in order. Again, what we had a stack, but what we're going to speak to now is Leslie's amendments. Anyone want to speak to that? No? Okay.
Can we talk about the first one?
Yeah, that's the first one I was talking about. So the first one is to strike, however, as a practical matter,
From
however to a last resort, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So what would remain is if a staff member has a personal grievance or is aware of a danger to a station, he or she, et cetera, is encouraged to discuss the matter. Okay,
so that's what's struck and that's what's in front of us, whether or not to strike that.
I'm confused about what we're doing.
What's that? Do you want to justify it again, Leslie?
Yes, I want to strike from however as a practical matter through only as a last resort. My concern there being that this puts a burden on personnel to prove that it's a last resort, and I don't think that's necessary.
Okay, anyone who speak against the amendment? Is there any objection? Yes. Is there any objection to the amendment?
If we're striking that language out, then what are we replacing it with?
Nothing.
I mean, so how should this?
It has to read differently.
You know, just saying how would it?
It reads all right. It's just there's no obligation presumed for a staff member to do this. Alex?
I don't see how this language obligates a staff member to prove it's a last resort. There's nothing in the language that says that.
Anybody else want to speak? Kimberly?
I think what he's saying is that if I get mad, if they take me off the air for some reason that I know.
Shaka Khan, I'm sorry. Sorry. Shaka Khan, I'm back. Shaka Khan. Got to keep y'all laughing, man. Y'all know the food is settling in now. Okay, but anyway. Okay. I'm a singer. I'm an artist. This is what I do. Okay. If I get mad and I know that something, you can feel the air. You know when the temperature's going to change. So if you know something's going to happen, I say something on the air as my farewell goodbye, you know, and just really mean it and goodbye, and I got to leave my shift, and I could be in that area of as a last resort. I said it goodbye, and that was my last thing to say goodbye, and they can't do anything. So I think it should be struck, because as a programmer, you know, we would watch, you know, programmers say things, and we're like, wait, what did they say? Mike, okay, as a programmer, you know, we know things are said, you know, so we just want, I think that should be struck. So.
Okay. Jennifer, do you want to speak to this?
Yeah, I'm not invested in that part of the paragraph. I think the second part is more important. But again, all of this is suggested policy. It really doesn't put a huge amount of pressure on the programmer. So, you know, if that language bothers you, I think it's more important to keep the second part that people with grievances, producers with grievances, should really try and resolve them off air before they go on air.
Okay. Kathy.
Somebody may want to do an analysis or a criticism and not have a grievance at all. You know, so from my perspective, is this only about grievances?
No,
or is it about somebody might go on the air and said, you know, I listened to that P&B meeting and they just didn't accomplish a darn thing. That's criticism. It doesn't mean you have a grievance necessarily. It's an analysis.
Or is aware of a danger to a station or to Pacifica. It also, you know, it goes on to give other things. It's not just a grievance the way it's worded.
Yes. There was some concern about the wording, that grievance, whether grievance was specific, or, you know, in the sense of a filed grievance or generic language, just a complaint or a criticism. And my sense of the motion is that it's all language. It's it's generic, any criticism, not just a particular grievance. So
Well, the sentence reads, if a staff member has a personal grievance or is aware of a danger to a station or Pacifica itself, which encompasses essentially anything.
Maybe we should say grievance or problem or complaint, make it a more general statement.
Well, we're about to run out of time on this, and we have 10 minutes before we have time certain for the affiliates. So I would like to actually go to a vote, unless people really want to keep talking about this, I'd like to go to a vote on the amendment, whether or not to take out that first two sentences. Is there any objection to going to a vote? Okay. All those in favor of removing the two sentences, leaving in the part from if a staff member, please raise your hand. I count three. All opposed, please raise your hand. If you're in favor of leaving it in, please raise your hand. Oh, let's do the vote again. So all in favor of taking out the first, maybe I should rephrase it differently. If you want to leave it in, okay, vote yes now. Okay, if you want to leave it in, please raise your hand. One. If you want to take it out, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six. If you're abstaining, how many? Please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. So that amendment passes. It's taken out. The next one is, I believe, to change, however, we believe that the privilege of whistleblowing carries. So you want to take out the word privilege, that just that whistleblowing?
We believe that whistleblowing.
I totally agree with Leslie's suggestion there.
That, okay. Is there any objection to Leslie's amendment to take that, the three words, the privilege of, out of that? This is in the, on page 8, it's the first, the last paragraph on page 8. Okay. Hearing no objection, that is struck. Finally, Leslie's last amendment was to take out the very last paragraph. That being said, the majority of our listeners have no knowledge and less interest in the internal affairs of the foundation, etc. Is there any objection to taking that out?
I'm actually objecting. Sorry.
You are objecting. Okay. Would you like to speak to your objection?
Not really.
All right. So let's just take a vote on that. All those in favor of striking that, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Okay? All opposed, please raise your hand. Two. Okay. All abstaining, please raise your hand. And there were three abstentions. Okay. Four abstentions. Okay. Campbell, how are we on time for the 15 minutes? We ran over before. Okay. So we need to go to vote on the main motion as amended. Is there any opposition to the main motion as amended? There is. Okay. So let's take a vote on that. All in favor of the main motion as amended, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. All opposed, please raise your hand. One.
No,
not you. It wasn't you. abstentions? Two abstentions. Three abstentions. Okay. So that motion passes. The next item on the agenda is, and thank you, Jennifer, for bringing it forth and... is the Sexism and Racism Committee. Do we have a chair for that?
Lisa Davis is the chair, and I'm the secretary.
Do you want to make a report? 3 minutes?
Well, basically we're working... Hi, Andrea Turner, KPFA. Basically we're working on... a conflict of
of something or another here. We're trying to set up a standard in which we can train all staff throughout the whole network on racism, sexism, and discrimination, and to ensure that we have a basis for complaints and filing complaints. And so that's what we're still working on. We're supposed to come together and have a meeting to finalize a draft proposal that's been on the table, and we have been discussing it. But we want to come back with a full package relating both the standard, giving the standard, as well as to suggest training for all of staff, so that we would have some more meat on the bones when we do a full report on what we come up with, the cost factor for the training, and who could do the possibly consultants and or either if we need that. But we just want to come back with a fuller package on this. So, and it's a very exciting committee, and I really like working with them. Nia, anybody else want to maybe add some comments? Thank you. Okay, great. Once I get around, I want to thank everybody also for the blessings that you've sent to me for my family, my mother. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
George?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, Arlene.
I'd just like to make a suggestion and a point of information. You know, that we do have sexual harassment training and some other areas, and you might want to just at least touch base with Ahmad to see what else is available.
Yes, he's we're involved also with Ahmad on this, and we're going to bring him on because you do have that. But we're also interested from the standpoint of you know, our lawsuits. We want to do some research, like all of our lawsuits that we've had, was it based on racism, sexism, or some form of discrimination? And to just really do an analysis of that, I think it's really needed, and hopefully we can get a full report as related to what are we doing that's right, what are we doing that's wrong, and how can we further advance who and what we're about in the community as related to racism, sexism, and throughout the Pacific network. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That was
Pacifica
Andrea Turner.
Network.
We have
questions.
¿Qué pasa?
Okay.
Yeah, is my mic on?
Mm-hmm.
Rico Ross,
yeah.
KPFK.
Yep.
Yeah, I've always felt that America's biggest problem was the media, and I always felt that the second biggest problem was racism or lack of equality.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know exactly what is this committee doing? Is it there more to explore what is going on? Or is the purpose to what exactly is the purpose? To explore what's going on within the foundation, in particular, outside the foundation as well? What is the purpose?
We're looking at the foundation, and we're looking at it in terms of the lawsuits that we've had. We're looking at it in terms of how to train staff, look at what we do have already, and how can we embellish what we do have already in terms of the training that's going on. We want to look at it and see, well, maybe we need to go this way or that way. We would like to have forums and discussion on racism, sexism, and discrimination. That was one of the areas that was brought up for review within the network. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're to look at how we can do it better.
Well, I just wanted to
say, in terms of responding to complaints and how staff can file complaints. you know, in, with some sort of civility.
We are at 4 o'clock, which is time certain for the affiliates' half hour. First item up, and thank you, Andrea, for the presentation and for the work of the committee.